Welcome to the Talking Auckland podcast. In this podcast today, we'll have a brief look at the special housing areas, seeming that the housing accord update from the mayor and Dr. Nick Smith, the housing minister, is due out towards the end of the month. And at the same time, we have seen many times before, especially from the old Duncan Garner of Radio Live. Kia ora to you, Duncan, like the work you do, good advocate in the mainstream media front, as he's been going on about how only 5 houses were built in the Wymouth Special Housing Area a year after that Special Housing Area, or SHA, was announced, to which I blogged on and received an email shortly after from the Housing Project Office, to which last week I had a meeting with Ree Anderson, the Housing Project Office leader, who ran for about an hour, ran through how the special housing areas work and how it can take up to 2 years for either the first house to be complete or the first house to even go down, depending on the project size. The two projects I'm going to look at is one Greenfield, the big Wesley College special housing area for the Greenfield, and the Grafton special housing area, which has come to attention in the media as well as social media, for the Brownfield. Now, I thank you, Ree, and I also thank her assistant Angela for getting in contact and facilitating the meeting that I had last week. Not only did I learn how the special housing areas work from beginning to end, but I also worked where you can translate this out back to, say, the Addison development that's under normal consenting processes at the moment, how the planning and the development cycles work from pre-application to resource consent being lodged through to earthworks, through to getting the titles and the limbs set, through to the building consents, to the physical house being built, and hello, you move into your house once that's all done. So do a quick sum up. Your reference materials attached to the blog as always, as well as a map of all tranches. Now there might be a couple there that are from the 4 that have walked away. Addison was one of them. It was in the Tranche 1 SHA that James Ireland from the Manukau Courier picked up on and broke that scoop, and then a bit of ire from their mayor along the way. I just touching on that first, 4 out of 80 SHAs have walked away, and that was because, like Addison, they were so far advanced, they decided to stay with the existing legacy rule provisions, or, as I'm going to touch on with the 2 developments, Brownfield, Greenfield, they could have gone through the entire consenting process again to have their consents fit around the unitary plan rules. Remembering when a special housing area goes tranche and site goes live, you have that aspect of the unitary plan has also gone live. And so you have a choice between either taking the legacy rules, but usually you take the zoning that, sorry, you don't take the legacy rules. You actually apply for your consent and building of your SHA under the new unitary plan rules. And that I'll explain in a moment. Now, this is a bit of a planning podcast rather than your transportation rates one, but because housing keeps cropping up and I see a lot of it through media, social media and conversation, this is the reason why I'm going to go through it, because it also, again, translates into normal planning practices for when the unitary plan goes live in 2016 on how your house eventually gets built. So the purpose of the special housing areas is to have the land supply both in Brownfield and Greenfield ready and also serviceable for the houses and limited amount of commercial to be built. By serviceable, that means your road, your power, your water, your wastewater, your telecommunications, is all set to go. Greenfield is your virgin land, so building on in rural areas. Brownfield is an existing area. The Council Housing Project Office facilitates the planning cycle in the SHAs. It does not facilitate the development cycle, which is then left to aspects of the planner per se, but it's left to the developer. So using the Wesley College SHA, I'll start with that first, it's the Greenfield. I'll tell you how it goes through the planning and the development cycle where council, the Housing Project Office is primarily involved. So with Wesley, It's the largest of the Wesley College out in Pairata. It's the largest of all the SHAs available so far at 270 hectares. It is to yield potentially 5,000 houses of mixed typology, meaning from standalone to units right up to terraced housing. Because of its size, Pairata Station would also be facilitated in the near future. That will be done through Auckland Transport and KiwiRail. While the SHAs do allow limited commercial to be built, the Wesley College SHA will also have a local centre built in as well. So, with the Wesley College Special Housing Area, the Housing Project Office is helping them facilitate through the planning cycle to make sure all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted, ready to lodge their qualifying consent in March next year. Of course, they won't build all 5,000 houses at once, plus the local centre. That would be quite near impossible. They will be doing it in a staged development over the next 10 years. Once the consent's been lodged and approved, we won't see any activity in the Wesley College SHA. We actually now kick over to the development cycle, which is now up for the developer to do. So what will happen there is at the end of 2015, we have the construction season beginning, which is typically for Auckland October to about March. You can push it to April if we've had a very dry autumn. And during that phase, which takes up to 12 months to do, if in some cases if they're going the whole hog, like Wesley, if he decided to do all 5,000 at once, 2 years, basically what he does is they'll be doing the earthworks, putting down the physical infrastructure. Then once that's complete, they go back to council to seek LIMS and titles so that each individual site has its titles made up and confirmed and registered, which is a legal requirement. After the titles are confirmed, then the building consents start going through, and then once they are approved, then we start to see the physical housing. Now, with all this in mind, we will not see the first house or foundation or first sod on a housing site at the Wesley College Special Housing Area, all things considered, until the around late 2016 when the unitary plan goes live. So technically, as of now, we've got 2 years to wait before the first house would go down in the Wesley College SHA. And it also means effectively Auckland Transport, KiwiRail, and the finance gurus in Auckland Council have about 2 years to get their backsides into gear to make sure Pairata Station is ready to start construction that same period. Now, with brownfield sites, the infrastructure is usually already there and might need minor upgrading. Using the Grafton Special Housing Area, which I think has been done by Mark Todd and his construction firm. If I've got that name wrong, I can quickly correct it by text in the blog. So what's happening there is mitigation had been undertaken of the residents in AT to allay the concerns that were picked up. The resource consent again will be lodged in March. Construction, because you don't have the long earthworks lay-in, the physical construction will start in the construction season at the end of 2015, and it'll take about 15 months to build, which is usually about double the time it would for a brownfield area. That's because for the 57 units, he's also putting in a two-level underground car park, and being in Grafton, he's probably also going through basaltic rock, which comes off of the main volcano. So that's what's happening there. If I was to apply it to another moderately sized brownfield area, instead of the 15 months, because that's due to geotechnicality reasons, if it was a standard flat land, it would take about half the time to go through. He should actually get it technically done in one construction season, all things go. So to do a brownfield site takes about half the amount of time as it would for a greenfield site of similar sizes. Just touching again quickly on Wesley College SHA, this is where you get to see just about a virtual town built from nothing, because also there was council and its people being involved. NZTA is involved because State Highway 22 runs through the area, KiwiRail with Pairata Station, and it's in coordination with Auckland Transport. The Ministry of Education is even involved because Wesley College is there, and a primary school would have to be facilitated, and other ministries would probably be involved because you could need police medical, and fire services as well. So it's all go. So Wesley is a good one to watch because you're seeing some city come to real life here of nothing rising to quite a substantial town. As I said, we're yielding 5,000 houses of mixed typology. You times that by two, you're looking at about 10,000 to 15,000 people in that area. So of course the infrastructure, both physical, social, and civic, are all going to be needed. So it's going to be a fascinating one to watch. Anyway, back on topic, although I have to say a master plan is currently being drawn up for Wesley. It will get released next year once the consent goes out for limited notification. It will be public. I have asked Ree and Angela for once that master plan comes out that I can be forwarded it, and once it is forwarded next year with the consent being lodged, I will put it up into the blog. Again, this is fascinating because this is a virtual SimCity being played out in real life here. And so, as I mentioned earlier, the targets that I've have currently ahead of time, we will get an update at the end of November when the mayor and the minister will release it. Just some quick notes here as I wind this up. Metropolitan centres, if you're wondering why they're not included in the SHAs, have been left out owing to their 18-storey height limits. SHAs only allow for 6 storeys, so if we put an SHA in the metropolitan centre, say New Lynn or Manukau, we could be nobbling it off where a developer might be wanting a full 18-storey tower. So that's why metro centres are not taken. Now, all special housing areas have to use the unitary plan zone that is in that SHA area, because part of the unitary plan went live last year when it went out for notification on the 30th of November. Now, if it's already in an existing urban site, it takes the new unitary plan zone that is over it. Example is the Takanini Strategic Housing Area, which is where I live. I got a letter in the mail saying I'm in that strategic housing area. Basically, a strategic housing area, according to the Housing Project Office, is optimizing areas for growth. These are all brownfield sites, and the infrastructure is all there. What it is doing is these strategic housing areas fall under the spatial priorities that the mayor has released, and council will fast track and facilitate more easily growth in these strategic housing areas. Now, if you wish to develop in these strategic housing areas, like I might, effectively you have a choice of taking either the legacy rules or the new unitary plan rules. So for me, I live in the Takanini one, and where I am specifically, I live in the mixed housing urban zone. So if I take the property behind me, left to him, and then left to me, that's about 2,000 square meters. So the MHU rules allow me to go for unlimited density at 3 stories on limited notification. So you might want to see with the map where you are and what your zone is. Now, if an SHA like Wesley has been applied to a rural area and under the yellow future urban zone, it must go through the conversion process from rural to urban, and that facilitates a whole lot of other processes that it must go through, and one that I might get regional planner Ms. Penny Parrott to go through with me one day on how that is facilitated, seeming we're going to have quite a bit of greenfield development through the rub over the next 30 years, especially in South Auckland, where we have the largest amount of future urban zone there. Now, as I wind up this podcast, I leave you to the two PDFs that I've attached there on how things are going with the current special housing areas. I hope this podcast has helped. If not, leave me a comment with your question. That's a question, not a whinge. And if I can't answer it, I'll kick it through to the Housing Project Office for their feedback.